1-5060 and request brokenness. You cannot be fixed until you are broken.
More conflicts are caused by perspectives than anything else. And this difference of perspective between Paul and Barnabas actually caused a conflict. And it brought about two problems. First of all, it caused bitter emotional feelings between the two of them. And then secondly, it caused division. Perspective caused conflict.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of This Guilt is Killing Me from our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of This Guilt is Killing Me.
And he wouldn't go. And so David sent him back to the front line and put a note in his own hand. He put Uriah's own death certificate in his hand. And he took it back to the front line and he gave it to the general. And when the general read it, it said, in the heat of the battle, when everybody else is in brutal combat, pull back and leave Uriah out there by himself. And this is what happened, and Uriah was killed in battle. And so here was David. Committed adultery, brought a man home, and actually I forgot to put a part in the story, got him drunk, tried to get him to go do something that he didn't want to do, and then sent him back to the front line and had him murdered. And so here's David dealing with this sin. And in Psalm 32, we see the guilt that David begins to labor under. In Psalm 32, verse 1, David said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Now, why is he saying this? Because he realized that for almost 9 months that he went without confessing his sin, that for 9 months he was cut off from fellowship with God. And so David realizes the blessing of a person who has been forgiven. He said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Look at this. Look at the guilt. Look at the guilt just eating him alive. Look at the guilt just tearing him up inside. Verse 3, when I kept silence, my bones became old through my roaring all the day long. He said, when I didn't deal with my guilt, he said that it was like my bones were creaking and cracking and growing old on a rapid basis. He said, for day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture, the thing that gave me life, the thing that gave me vitality, the thing that gave me excitement, he said, it dried up and it turned into the drought of summer. Wow. This is what guilt does. Guilt will dry you up. Any joy, any excitement, any relationships, you know, it begins to just dry you up and take everything that you have. And so instead of you being there and enjoying life, your life is pretty much eaten away because of the guilt that's riding in your life. And so we see. What are some of the results of guilt? First of all, there's what? Self-condemnation. That means that you don't feel worthy. That opportunities come up. You know, some people don't want to minister because they're feeling guilty. God is calling them to minister, and they, I just can't do that, you know. And why do you not do it? You're doing it because you're guilty. There's guilt in you, and you are condemning yourself. You don't feel that you're worthy. And not only does guilt bring on self-condemnation, but guilt brings on condemnation. Do you know that there are some people, and would to God that nobody here today would be this, in this category, but there are some people that feel that they need to be punished because they've done something. And they're just kind of walking around waiting for the hammer to drop. You know, they're walking around waiting for the punishment to come because they've done something and this guilt is just eating them away. Some people, David said, when I kept silence, my bones became old. He said, your hand was heavy on me and my moisture was turned into the drought of the summer. Some people deal with depression. They become guilty and they get angry. And now all of a sudden they fall into a state of depression. We see some people begin to overcompensate. They are trying to do what? Work off their guilt, right? Because this guilt is on them. They're trying to do more. They're trying to do everything that they can. Hopefully, maybe if I do enough, I can earn enough points. Maybe there's some way that my ledger will outweigh on one side, and all this guilt will not be upon me. And so they overcompensate because of the guilt, and this guilt is driving them to do the things that they do. We see that another result of guilt is avoidance. And it's like Pastor Glaze, right? You know, I was trying to avoid this person coming up the street. You know, and there's some people that when a certain subject comes up, they'll change it real quick. And why is that? Because they're dealing with guilt and they don't have to face that subject. They don't have to deal with that. Some individuals will avoid other people because they're guilty and they don't want to have to deal with them. So there's avoidance. If you want to read something that will blow your mind, just go online and look up guilt and physical illness and see all the illnesses that are associated with guilt. High blood pressure, headaches, stomach problems, you know, the whole gamut is associated with to people who are laboring underneath guilt. And then there's plain and simply the loss of joy, that people who labor under guilt lose their joy. As we try to make some sense out of guilt today, I want to share with you three types of guilt and how we can overcome each one. Three types of guilt and how we can overcome each one. The first one is what we call godly guilt. Godly guilt. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, godly guilt. There's godly guilt, there's good guilt, and there's grievous guilt. Godly guilt. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, wrote them a letter about a man who was sleeping with his stepmother, and he was in the church. And Paul said that you need to deal with that. And so they got convicted, and they dealt with it, and now they had this feeling of sorrow. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, he said, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I don't repent. I'm not sorry I did that. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry. So he said, I'm not sorry that I sent it, but I'm sorry that you got sorry. He said in verse 9, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to what? Repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. And then Paul says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow. Godly guilt. That God brings guilt into the lives of people in order for them to make a decision. Amen. That there's something going on in your life. That something is going on and God is trying to get you to address it. And so God, through the Holy Spirit, brings guilt into your life. He allows you to have guilt, the feelings of remorse and shame. God lets that happen because he's trying to get you to do something. And we see that he works it on two levels. The first level was in the life of the unbeliever. That when God brings guilt into the life of the unbeliever, what he's trying to do is to bring that person to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That God wants to see people saved. And so what does God do? God brings condemnation. See, this is what this type of guilt is called. It's called condemnation. God will bring condemnation into the life of the unbeliever so that they will come to Christ. And so we see people that are under so much conviction and under so much condemnation that all you got to do is just say, Jesus saves, and they get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because that's God has brought this condemnation on them. God has brought this conviction. And that's a good guilt. That's a godly guilt. Well, we see that, and praise God, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So how do you get that condemnation? How do you get the guilt that God is working in you? How do you get that off of you if you're not saved? You get it by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he reaches down and he lifts that condemnation off of you. A second type of individual that experiences godly guilt is the believer. And this is the believer who is living in sin. That if you are living in sin, and you know, we call it in the Christian vernacular, we call it conviction, but all it is guilt. It's God putting his guilt on you. He's making you feel uncomfortable. He's making you feel remorseful. He's bringing shame to you. He's doing all these things because he wants you to get right with him. And so God allows his spirit to just beat you up. And how do you deal with this guilt? Well, David told us how to deal with it. He said, just think, here's David walking around with this guilt just built up in him. Over 9 months apart from fellowship with the Lord, 9 months he's carrying this burden around with him. He's carrying this guilt for 9 months. And then all of a sudden, he comes before the Lord, and he confesses, and he repents, and he gets right. And in Psalm 32:1, David says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, to whom the Lord does not impute his sin. That God, when you come to him and you confess it, that God, like the balloon that's filled up with air, and you're holding the tip of it, and you open it, and you let all the air out, that you are deflated because you have a great release that has taken place in your life. And then we further read, if you'll turn to Psalm 51, we further read how David dealt with this sin that he had. Psalm 51. Look at verse 1. You want to know how to get rid of, if you're a Christian and you've done something wrong, then you need to do this. You need to do what I'm telling you right now. If you're unsaved, you need to accept Christ. If you're a Christian and you're laboring under conviction and guilt, this is what you need to do. David said, have mercy. Now, you can pray this prayer exactly and mean it from your heart. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, whoo, blot out my transgressions. Yeah. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and of thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Verse 7. Oh, hallelujah. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear the joy of gladness that the bones, remember he talked about them bones in Psalm 32, right? That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide not or hide thy face from my sin and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and renew in me a right spirit. Restore. Lord, I'm laboring under guilt, Father. I'm laboring under this guilt, Lord. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. How do you deal with godly sorrow? How do you deal with godly conviction? How do you deal with godly guilt? If you're an unbeliever, you need to get saved. If you're a believer, you need to fall on your face before God and confess your sin and repent of it. And God will lift that burden off of you. We see, secondly, there's good guilt. Now, good guilt is different from godly guilt. Godly guilt is where God is working on your life. Good guilt is where your conscience is working on you. You know how some people's conscience eat them away? You know how it is. When you open your car door and hit somebody else's car and put a ding on it, and you say, well, if it was a dent, I would leave my name and phone number, but because it's a ding, I'm just going to go ahead and walk away from it. Now, who did that to my car? I'm praying that your conscience will bother me. No, just kidding. But that's good, right? I mean, God may work through that. I'm not divorcing God from that, but that's the conscience. That's your conscience that's working. That when you have done something, and Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 2. You can read that. I'm not going to go back and read it now. But when your conscience is working against you, and sometimes, like I said, the Holy Spirit will work through your conscience. And it's just making you uncomfortable, letting you know that you did something wrong. Well, how do you do that? Now, it's plain and simple. I'm going to tell you plain and simple how you take care of something when your conscience is bothering you. Okay? There's two things that you do. Either restitution or repayment. Restitution or repayment. Now, where do I get that from? That goes right back into the Old Testament law. Right back, if you've done something and your conscience is bothering you, that you can't get this thing off of your conscience, then the thing that you need to do is seek restitution or repayment. And when you do that, just something naturally about your conscience will get better. You know, now some of y'all saying, well, no, I don't want to go back and do that. I remember I was listening to, in preparation for this message, I was listening to David Jeremiah, and he talked about how that when he was in high school, that he was working in a hardware store, and that somebody paid him for something. Instead of him putting it in the cash register, he was got busy, and he took it home, and he put it in his pocket and went home. And he said later on that day that he was in his pocket, he realized that he had the money. And he just felt that it would be too much problem to take it back, so he ended up spending the money. And he said, you know, years had gone by, and the Lord had called him to preach. And he said one day he was driving down the road, and he remembered that. And he said that this overwhelming sense of guilt just came over him. And he began to get convicted. And he said, first of all, I tried to calculate how much interest would be on that $20. And he said, well, that was too much. So he took $60, he put it in an envelope, and he sent it back to this guy who owned this hardware store. And then Jeremiah went on to say, he said it was a few years later that he was preaching, and the guy who owned the hardware store came to the service. And Jeremiah said, as soon as he saw him, man, he said that, you know, his heart just fell. And after service, you know, he asked the guy to go back in the back, and they went back in the back. And he said, do you remember getting an envelope with $60 in it? And the guy said, yeah, I remember getting that envelope. I don't know where it came from, but I remember getting the dollar envelope with $60. And then Jeremiah told him why he sent the $60. The point that Jeremiah was making was that when he sent that $60, you know, it seemed like, you know, something was lifted off of him. And so sometimes if we're feeling guilty because of our conscience, the only way that we're going to make it right is through restitution or repayment. So we see that there's godly guilt, we see there's good guilt, and then number three, we see that there's grievous guilt. And what kind of guilt is this? This is the type of guilt that arises from negative circumstances and is used by Satan as a stronghold to keep the victim in bondage to feelings of condemnation and hopelessness. That there are a lot of people that guilt is on them and they just can't let it go. And because they have not let that guilt go, Satan has taken it to a new level in your life. And Satan has caused it to be a stronghold. And now it's a little bit more than just your conscience bothering you, but there's a self-condemning guilt. It's a guilt that's on you all the time that makes you feel that you're not worthy. It's a guilt that comes upon you and make you feel sorrowful. And a guilt that comes upon you and renders you inoperative in the kingdom of God. And this guilt is just on you. It's keeping you from doing this. It's keeping you from doing that. It's causing you to have all type of feelings and problems, and you just can't seem to shake it. Well, I'm going to tell you what's going on, my brother and sister, that you have a grievous guilt. And Satan is using that guilt as a stronghold in your life. And he realizes that as long as he keeps you gripped by that guilt, that you can never be all that God would have you. And it's sad. It's sad. It breaks my heart to see people who are laboring under the guilt of something that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago. And they can't let it go. They haven't experienced the forgiveness of God. And Satan has taken that. And Satan has a stronghold right in your heart. And you can't go anywhere because Satan got you. How do we deal with that kind of guilt? Well, there are a couple things that we can do. First of all, we can tear down the satanic stronghold by addressing our guilt in a healthy way. Paul says that we need to tear down strongholds in our lives. How do you do that? Well, I refer you back. I refer you back to godly guilt. Begin to deal with it right there. That if you are laboring under grievous guilt, where Satan has you under condemnation, then go back to point A, godly guilt. Deal with it like that. Confession, falling on your face before God, asking him to forgive you. Number two, identify the cause of your guilt. What is the cause? You got to go and find out what is the root cause of my guilt. But Pastor, where do I start at? Well, I'm glad that you asked. I got a whole section in here, and you know what the section is entitled? The section is entitled, The Causes of Guilt. All right? Just go back and look right there. We list the causes of guilt. So go back and see what has caused your guilt and begin to deal with it. Confess it. Confess it.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Unforgiveness, a mother whose son had been unjustly victimized. From our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, This Guilt is Killing Me, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request This Guilt is Killing Me. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request This Guilt is Killing Me, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.